All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Bob Gould.
Here we are once again, Veterans Radio. Bob Gould, after a long, long absence, I'm back on the air. That's right, I'm good to be here. I'm good to be talking to all you veterans and non-veterans, wives, sisters, brothers. I had to think about all this. And I have in the studio with me, though, two very fine gentlemen, veterans they are, Mr. Michael G. Smith, who is a, well, why don't you go ahead, introduce yourself, Michael.
Well, Bob, it's good to be in the studio with you again. It's been a while. I am Michael Smith. I am the director of Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs. I've been in the department over 22 years. And in my military background, I spent 8 years on active duty in the U.S. Army. And after leaving active duty, I remained in the Army National Guard, both in North Carolina and here in Michigan. And then toward the end of my career, I switched over to the U.S. Army Reserve, and I retired in April of 2004 with over 21 years of service.
And now you're a VSO guy.
That's correct. Yeah. I am the director of the County Department of Veterans Affairs, but I'm also an accredited County Veteran Service Officer.
Did you hear that, folks? He's the director, okay, of the Veteran Service Organizations there. Okay, this is the guy you want to talk to, Mr. Michael G. Smith. And also with me, yeah, we got a VA person.
I know. Hi.
Don't ring the phones off the hooks. We got a VA guy. We got the public relations. Ooh, I like that. Public relations, anything to do with relations in the public sounds good to me. Mr. Brian Hayes. Brian,
hi.
Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm glad to be here.
And your background?
And my background is I am the public affairs officer for the VA in Ann Arbor, communications director, and Navy veteran from the from Desert Storm.
Desert Storm.
Uh-huh.
I try to keep all those together.
Yeah. Whew,
Desert Storm and this, that, and what was the other couple ones they had? There was surges and all that.
Well, sure, but all of it is considered, you know, Persian Gulf War era.
Exactly. Yeah. And that, when did that officially begin? January of 2003?
Well, the Persian Gulf era opened August 2nd, 1990.
Yeah.
With the first Persian Gulf War, and that consisted of Operation
Desert Shield.
Well, first off, it started off as Operation Desert Shield and then Operation Desert Storm.
Right.
And then right after that, we had Operation Provide Comfort, where we were working with the Kurds in northern Iraq and southern Turkey, and then we had the no-fly watch, so that was another operation, and then we moved right into Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Noble Eagle, and now Operation New Dawn.
It's a series of operations.
Well, folks, do you even have to listen anymore? You just heard it. And by the way, whenever we have our benefits program, you got to have a pencil and paper, pen, pencil, crayon, use whatever, highlighter. Mm-hmm. Okay, get this information down, right? Like, oh, man, I wish I would have done that. Because, Mr. Hayes, as I have here, you're going to be answering. Now, again, we're not here to beat up the VA. Got it, folks? All right, we don't want none of that. We want stuff that's really going to make make notice. And one of them is, if I may be, I think I'm just going to jump into it right now and give you a very quick anecdotal story about someone I knew that had back pain.
Mm-hmm.
Leg pain, back pain, left leg, by the way, it's very common. I have a theory on that. And the wait was 2 months for PT.
Mm-hmm.
This was just when the president signed the bill.
Which bill?
The one where if you wait 5 weeks or 4 weeks.
Which president?
Trump.
Okay, so Mission Act.
Yeah, well, this new thing. It just came a month ago, 2 months, whatever.
The Mission Act, right.
Yeah, something like that. And it was a two-month wait. I'm in pain. I mean, really pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so the scheduler says, well, you can go into the community. Hey, that's great. The president just had that. He mentioned that. And it's more than a 5 week, is it? 4 week wait? Or 5 week?
For what?
Before you're eligible to go in the community.
20 days.
Oh, well, I was eligible, obviously.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a list of the providers. Well, I don't know who it is or where. And it was a 4 week wait to the community quarter. Now, I know you're going to change that. I know that. Okay, we all know that, folks. But that isn't today, because that just happened a few months ago.
Yeah, we can't really change much of what's going on in the community, but we can certainly change what's happening at the VA.
So what do you? Okay, we waited the 2 months, but the community coordinator. Tell us about that, and how is that working right now? Is it
well? So far, it's working out really, really well. I mean,
if it's 2 months.
Compared to what, right? So it's 2 months to get an appointment in the VA, but it's 3 months to get an appointment in the community, right? So
I don't know.
So when you have when people talk about, I have to wait X amount of time to get my appointment, you have to ask compared to what. Right? So there are clinics that we're seeing folks in 30 days, sometimes 60 days, seems like a really long wait. But if you go to a community hospital or a clinic of some sort, that wait could be up to a year, we're finding out for certain clinics, right?
Okay.
So you always have to ask compared to what. There's a shortage of nurses and physicians and specialists all over the country, right? And the VA tends to be sort of the canary in the coal mine. When there's a problem in the American healthcare system, the VA tends to feel it first. And, you know, we were starting to notice access problems years ago and doing our best to get it fixed, which by and large we kind of are getting there, right? But on the outside in the community, those waits are still long. Why? Because they've never measured them. They've never been accountable to Congress to measure wait times and get those wait times down and work with the metrics of it. So now they are. Now you can find out in the community and you can read about it. They're starting to measure these things. How long does it take for us to from the phone call to the appointment? How long is it really taking us to see this person?
Well, get those measurements quick. Get this thing moving. No, I understand that. I understand about. But I'm going to dovetail right now. Because the worth was wait was worth it. Mm-hmm. What did I say? The worth was waited. Here you go. The wait was worth it. Why?
Right.
First of all, I was a PT that I've worked with before. So, yes, it was two months. And I got there. And what did they use Thursday? Now, I've been in pain 6 months. Okay? Big time. Acupuncture.
Yeah, VA's been offering acupuncture for a long time.
Can I say that? Michael, you wanted to comment on it. I was totally surprised. Came into the PT, I thought I was going to do massage, whatever. He says, we're going to do acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
Do you approve? Yeah, sure. Never did that. It was great. Pain-free. I got off the table. Pain-free.
Well, VA's been offering alternative therapies for a long time.
We didn't know about it.
Yeah, and it's been out there, and we've been, we don't really talk about it unless you need it, right? So if you need it, then we'll talk about it. But, I just don't walk around screaming about acupuncture.
No, I don't.
But part of the whole health initiative that we have, includes acupuncture, massage therapy, all the therapies.
Well, how do you discern massage therapy is great?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And for my back. Now, I've been pain-free for 3 days. I expect something's got to come back. I can't believe this is going to be forever. So I'd like to do a massage. How would I become eligible through the VA to have massage therapy to go along with the...
You get a consult from your primary care physician, and the community care will set you up with a massage therapist. Ta-da.
Wow.
Bam.
That's really cool, Brian. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and we probably, for those kinds of therapies, massage therapy, acupuncture, those are the things we use a lot. I mean, when it comes to dollars, quote the dollars.
It's not the point of dollars. It works.
That's because we use it.
It works. Now, your phones are going to be ringing off a hook tomorrow. Because it works, folks. I'm going to tell you that. I was pain.
Sure.
Excruciating pain. I got off that table. I could walk. I mean, whoa. So
yeah, and something that we're doing now too. I'll break this news now is we're hiring chiropractors now on site. So we're going to have chiropractors in the building. We're working on getting them hired right now. So that's a process.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do the allopaths think of that?
I don't know what an allopath
is. That's an MD.
Oh, is that what they call?
Yeah.
Oh,
you got chiros. You got osteos. You got allos. The allos are meta.
So what were you around when Pythagoras was still practicing?
Chemistry guys.
Oh.
Yeah. He's an allopath.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. And then I'm going to go to the apothecary,
right?
Stop by.
I'm going to get some drugs, guys.
Bring me up some herbs.
Drugs. There. More drugs. No.
What the heck is an allopath?
Let me take Derek. Did we happen to get a hold of Joanna Hardesty?
Oh, my God.
Okay. I'll give you that number in just a bit. All right. Well. Somehow that. What?
But yeah, those are all great things. I'm glad you brought that up.
He was trying to stump you, Brian. He just wanted to make sure you knew what your paths
were.
All my paths.
All your paths.
Oh, my goodness. No, that's great, though, because all those things that you're talking about, we've been offering. And, you know, this whole notion of, you know, going out into the community is not new to the VA. We've been doing it for decades. If it's a service that we don't provide or if it's something that's, you know, that where the wait is way too long, we send people out. You know, we've always been.
But that was for tertiary and quaternary care.
It depends.
Is that a great word?
A quaternarian. A quaternarian. Was that a horse doctor?
we don't have any of those at
the VA, like somebody
folks.
That takes care of four of something.
Quaternary care is the heavy stuff, like heart transplants.
Oh, yeah. Well, tertiary. That's where we are, and we're the tertiary referral center for the VA in this state.
You know, so. We're so fortunate to have the University of Michigan and St. Joe's so close by.
Yeah, and we have such a tight relationship with the University of Michigan at our hospital. I mean, almost all the physicians are co-appointed to both facilities. So when you come see us, you're seeing a University of Michigan physician.
All right, folks. We've been saying this a ton of times. And I'm going to have Michael Smith say it again, because when you come to the VA, hey, I've never been there before, I think I'm going to sign up. Don't do that. Sign up now, even if you use it or not. Sign up now. Tell us about that, Michael.
That's correct. I always encourage veterans to enroll in the VA healthcare system, or at least investigate enrolling in the VA healthcare system. And even if you don't use it, or if you only use it once a year for your annual primary care physician physical, it's still well worth having that connection with the VA healthcare system, because you never know when you may need it in the future and where it might become the place for your preferred care.
Mm-hmm. And when you show up at the ER and you're not enrolled or registered, I call it enrolled, guess what, folks? You're going to have some problems. Well, your name's not here, so take care of all that ahead of time. Just like Michael said, even if you use it or lose it or don't use it, still sign up and enroll. We want to get everybody to do that. Now, something else coming up, and I'm going to get with you in a minute, Michael. We got a whole bunch of questions here, but let's get some of this stuff out of the way. There's a health fair coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the VA, your friendly VA, the Veteran Health Summit.
Yeah.
A summit. Got it, folks? It's Wednesday. Get your pencil out. September 18th, 9 to 1. Ooh, that's not very long. Four hours.
It's 4 hours. There's a lot of presentations. A lot of folks come. I think this is our fourth one that we've come to, or maybe the third one. I can't remember. It's the fourth one.
Well, I'm going to read these. Topics: maximizing your veterans' health care, veterans' disability update, health care in the community. There, we just talking about that. The new Mission Act. Did we just cover that? You know, listen to Veterans Radio. Okay, you want to be up on top of things, listen to VR. Got it? Dale knows that, too. The Ann Arbor VA Medical Center update. These are all things that are available topics on that day. That's September the 18th. And the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency update. And, Michael, will you be there for that?
No, the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency is a sub-agency of the Michigan's Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Mm-hmm. So that's going to probably come from a state official.
Right.
Were you just telling me, Brian, something here? What's happening? All these little – tell me. You said something are coming under one
– Oh, right, right. Well, you were showing me this brochure.
For
folks listening, Bob handed me this brochure before we came on the air. And it's got a long web address, right, www.ebenefits.va.gov. VA has a lot of these little websites that, you know, .this, .that, .gov. But depending on the topic, and what they finally decided to do, which was really bright this year, was to take all of these sub-sites and put them on one website. And guess what the web address is?
I have no idea.
VA.gov. Who'da thunk? Who'da thunk it? But, yeah, so go to VA. If you want to know anything, honestly, everything is housed in this one place, and a lot of these little sub-sites are probably going to start.
We could ask Michael Smith.
Yeah, so go to VA.gov and go to the bottom of the screen. You'll see all the little sub-sites, all the places that you can go. You can learn more. In fact, you can learn everything you ever wanted to know but were afraid to ask about the Mission Act if you go to VA.gov and click on Mission Act at the bottom of the page. It's got all of the information about how Mission Act works. Also, there's a listing of all of the urgent care providers in the area where you can go get urgent care if you need it. And that list is growing. So VA.gov is the website to remember.
And this is called eBenefits, My Gateway to Benefit Information. And I'm going to give you that one, EBE. Oh, eBenefits. That's all right. Let's have another glass of water. Here we go. eBenefits.va.gov. There we go. eBenefits.va.gov. Gov.
And the nice thing, too, Bob, about VA.gov is all the stuff is on there, right? Not just health care, but all your benefits stuff. You can apply for your home loan on there. You can apply for all that stuff on there, right? So, and if you want to become if you want to enroll in health care at the VA, mm-hmm. go to VA.gov. You can do the enrollment right there digitally, and it'll send it to the medical center that is closest to you geographically.
God, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then
needed to know this, folks. Yeah. We got to know what the VA.
There's a few things that we've kind of figured out.
Well, right? It's hard to get that. And again, we're not here to beat up our own people, right? Right. Although there's a few moments. But anyway, so we covered the Veterans Health Summit. That's that, right? June. And
you get to meet our director if you come to that. She's doing the presentation.
Bob, where is that health summit going to be located?
Oh,
I know you gave us the date.
Yeah. It's at Schoolcraft College.
Schoolcraft College.
Yeah, right off of Hagerty.
Yeah, Vista Tech Center, Wednesday, mm-hmm. September 18th, 9 to 1. I'd suggest getting there early.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's free. It's free to military veterans, friends, family, and caregivers. That's really cool. Really great.
Well, we have found that oftentimes for folks that are hesitant to get involved with VA or get involved with VA benefits, oftentimes it's spouses and friends that kind of lead them to the water, you know, and then we help them drink, right? So they're like, I don't want to get involved with the VA or I don't want to do this. It's oftentimes, like I said, the spouses that are and friends that are saying, hey, you know, you really ought to check out the VA because your health is deteriorating and, you know, you should really see a doctor about that.
What percentage of VA employees are vets?
At our hospital, 28%.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was higher.
It was. It was 33% about 5 years ago. But we have a smaller population of veterans.
We have less veterans.
Fewer veterans.
Right.
And the veterans, part of it is the Vietnam veterans are all retiring, right? So the number of veterans that we have working there are just not.
Okay. Derek, I want to give you this real quick to give this lady a call, Joanna Hardesty. And it's about the moving wall, okay? 810-397-9058. Okay, Joanna Hardesty. We'll be talking about MOVE, MOVE.
Okay.
In Shelby Township. That's coming up. And that's all there. Okay. Let's do a benefit question. Let's get Michael. He's been sitting here. Sure. I have fallen asleep, so we're going to wake him up right now.
And, why am I here?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, taking up space. But he's green, folks. He's green. His carbon imprint is small. Right. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
Here we go. Okay. And these are anonymous, all right? Why is that when a veteran has a discharge of other than honorable, go to the VA and they tell me that I'm not eligible for benefits that I earned and I know that are correctly mine. I have degenerate nerve damage and bulging disc, da, 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 da. Okay. A veteran has a discharge of other than honorable, go to the VA and they tell me, him, that I'm not eligible for benefits. You want to tackle that one?
Well, typically, most benefits are going to be predicated on having an honorable or general under honorable conditions. So if veterans have an other than honorable, it requires the VA to engage in what's called an administrative decision to determine whether or not that person's service should be characterized as honorable for VA purposes. The problem with that is that process exists on the Veterans Benefits Administration side of the house, and the Veterans Health Administration really doesn't have a process by which an administrative decision can be conducted. So the person would actually have to go to the VBA, the Veterans Benefits Administration, and request what's called an administrative decision and have what they do there is they request the person's records from the archives and they do what's called a facts and circumstances review of the reasons why that person's discharge was characterized other than honorable. I have done this before. I've had veterans' discharges considered honorable for VA purposes and established not only disability compensation or other VBA benefits other than education. Education still requires an honorable discharge. Even if you get it upgraded to an honorable for VA purposes, it will not work for education, but it will work for everything else, including hospital care.
Now, you mentioned go to obviously he's not going to drive there. Okay, so give this again. What would be this gentleman? Where could they go?
Well, if he can go see a veteran service officer for any one of the national veteran service organizations, or go to the he can go to the VA hospital, or he can go to a county Department of Veterans Affairs, and just about every state in the union, we have county veteran service officers or similar. To what we do, with the exception of some states like Louisiana, they have parishes. Mm-hmm. In Massachusetts, believe it or not, they have city employees who function as service officers in their cities. That is correct.
Good luck, Massachusetts.
There are some states like Arizona,
Boston.
Arizona and Nevada and the Commonwealth of Virginia, where they have state veteran service officers who have a region of counties that they take care of. But there again, there's a person who's accredited, knows about this process, and you can go talk to one of those people and say, hey, listen, I got an OTH, or an other than honorable discharge, and I'd like to submit a request for an administrative decision to the Veterans Benefits Administration so they can determine whether or not my service should be considered honorable for VA purposes.
Yeah, guys like Michael are just godsends, because their job is to know this stuff, and they know how to navigate the system, right? And that's their job. So, you know, any chance that a person has to take advantage of that knowledge,
that's called a nexus, folks, N-E-X-U-S.
Well, no, the nexus is what most people are missing when it comes to the claims process.
Oh,
that's something that we talked about earlier. I believe
it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, I wrote that down in my notes.
You had a gentleman who said, hey, I've been trying to get my disability upgraded, but I've been working on it for 4 years. Am I doing something wrong? And what we were having a discussion about is what a claim needs. A claim needs an event or something that happened in service that's either documented in records or documented, like, say, for instance, herbicide exposure. That's well documented. Or contaminated water at Camp Lejeune. That's well documented. Or you fell off the back of a deuce and a half and you hurt your back, and it's in your service treatment records. So you have an event or something that happened in service, some kind of in-service occurrence. That's the first thing you need. Second thing you need is a diagnosis of a chronic disability. And then what we were talking about is what most people are missing is that third element, which is a link between those two events, and that's what we call a nexus. And that always comes in the form of an opinion from a physician that says this caused that. And then if you have all three of those elements, you're going to be successful with a claim for disability compensation.
Well, that came from Ron Hodge. Ronnie, I hope that answered your question. It certainly was. Certainly answered mine if I would have.
And so I would encourage Mr. Hodge to go contact a county veteran service officer or somebody that is an accredited service officer who can look at that claim and what he's done up to this point, what the VA's response has been. And typically, in less than 5 to 10 minutes, we can triage what's gone wrong and then start working on the fix.
You know, as long as we're talking about discharges, too, I just want to add this because I think it's important. When it comes to a mental health crisis, you can present to any VA ER, and it doesn't matter what your discharge was. It could have been a dishonorable discharge. It could have been a BCD, anything. If you're in a mental health crisis, go to a VA ER, and they will treat you.
Okay. Well, let's take a little break from all the benefits and go over some of these things that are happening around our community. Were you able to get a hold of Joanna? Oh, cool. Well, let's put her on. Can you put her on? Throw it through. Joanna.
Yes, sir.
Yes. We forgot about, no, I didn't forget about you, but things got very hectic. We got you on. You're on the air now.
Yes.
Well, before we talk about you so much, let's, Joanna Hardesty is the president of HERO, the sponsoring organization of the Moving Wall. Tell us about that.
Yes, HERO stands for Hamburg Enhanced Recreation Organization, and one of the things we do is plan and organize community events, and this year, for the third time, a return visit, the Vietnam Memorial Moving Wall will be coming to Hamburg Township.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Something happened. I don't know.
Oh, dear. Okay. Did you hear anything that I said?
I got a little bit of it. Go ahead. Keep going. We're cool.
Okay. The Vietnam Memorial Moving Wall is coming to Hamburg Township starting next Thursday and will run through Labor Day. That's August 29th through September 3rd.
And what's,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What's the charge for this? This is in Shelby Township. That's in northern Oakland County, right?
No, it's in Hamburg Township.
Got it.
Hamburg in Livingston County. Yes.
And that is going to be the moving wall. And how does that travel?
It travels all over the country. It actually, when I talked to the drivers just 2 days ago, they were in New York, and they're coming to us from New York. They travel around the country almost year-round. The winter months in Michigan, they take a break for a little bit. But majority of the time, they're traveling the country.
And you're going to have a show afterward. There's going to be, is that correct? You're going to have a free event here that is a tribute to the Armed Forces. Tell us about that. We only got a couple minutes, so tell us about that.
Absolutely. Along with the moving wall, we have a whole lot of other stuff going on, educational displays, enactments from World War to Vietnam, Korea, et cetera. But we're also doing something pretty special. We're having a Bob Hope tribute USO show. We'll have Bob Hope, Jack Benny, Red Skelton, and Jimmy Durante visiting us and putting on a USO show for us in the park. And pretty much as a fun opportunity
Joanna?
Joanna,
Joanna, we got to cut. Stay on the phone. We'll bring you back after the news.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Sergeant David Bleek, although a medical aid man, killed 3 North Korean soldiers and disarmed 2 more. Details after this. Bleek volunteered to accompany a reconnaissance patrol committed to engage the enemy and capture a prisoner for interrogation. Forging up the rugged slope of the key terrain, the group was subjected to intense automatic weapons and small arms fire and suffered several casualties. After administering to the wounded, Bleek continued to advance with the patrol. Nearing the crest of the hill while attempting to cross the fire-swept area to attend the wounded, he came under hostile fire from a small group of the enemy concealed in a trench. Entering the trench, he closed with the enemy, killed 2 with his bare hands, and a 3rd with his trench knife. Moving from the emplacement, Bleek saw a concussion grenade fall in front of a companion and, quickly shifting his position, shielded the man from the impact of the blast. Later, while ministering to the wounded, a hostile bullet struck him, but, despite the wound, Bleek undertook to evacuate the wounded comrade. As he moved down the hill with his heavy burden, 2 enemy soldiers with fixed bayonets attacked him. Closing with the aggressors, he grabbed them and smacked their heads together, then carried his helpless comrade down the hill to safety. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Hey, we're back on Veterans Radio. Bob Gould here, your host, with Michael G. Smith and Brian Hayes from the VA. Michael Smith is a veteran service officer. And if you have a question, 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600. Got it? 734-822-1600. Let's start ringing those phones. A couple other things before we, annual pig roast coming up. And that will be the Vietnam Veterans of America, Charles Kettles. God bless you, Charlie. Chapter 310. Oh, that's a great. Have you been to the pig roast at the Chapter 310?
No.
Oh, what an event. What an event. Gary Lilly really got that. Yeah, yeah, we're all shaking. Here you go, Gary. That'll be Sunday, September the 8th, noon to 4. And it's wonderful. It really, the pork is fantastic. Breaks up right in your, I mean, so wonderful.
And it's children, at the VFW Post.
Yes, 310.
Number 423.
That's on Wagner Road.
On Wagner Road.
Wagner Road, September 8th. So Google Chapter 310, Vietnam Veterans of America. That's a lot. Give you all that information. There's going to be merchandise sales, Huey, helicopter, children's face painting, live musical, bucket drawings, etc. It's a lot of fun. We had a good time with that. Also coming up is National POW/MIA Recognition Day. Tell us about that, Michael.
It's an annual event that recognizes our former prisoners of war and those that are still classified as missing in action. And the VA really pushes that, and there's always an annual program at the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System. And most VA hospitals have a POW/MIA Recognition Day.
Yeah, we do that every year in mid-September. On that day, we have a big ceremony. We have our former prisoners of war there. Most of them are able to attend, although we're losing a lot of them very quickly. You know, that population is dwindling very quickly. But we do that every year, and it's always a really nice nice ceremony.
Okay, we're going to get back with Jonah Hardesty in just a second. I want to tell everybody we're going to be announcing the winner of the leather jacket from U.S. Wings. That will be coming up right after our interview with Joanne, finishing that on a move. Joanne, thank you for being so patient. Tell us more about the wall. Have you seen the wall yourself?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I've seen the wall in Washington, D.C., and I've also been part of the planning and organization for bringing the wall to Michigan three other times. So, yes, I have seen it. Pretty powerful experience.
And this is going to be in Hamburg Township, folks. That's at Manly Bennett Park, Merrill Road in Hamburg Township. Hamburg Township, that's Washtenaw?
Livingston.
Livingston.
Okay, okay, that's out there. All right. And tell us more. Tell us, what would you like to say to all our veterans, inviting them to come to your event?
Oh, well, I'd like to say that it's a pretty incredible experience, and we offer this, and we do this to try and help not just to honor and pay tribute to our veterans, both lost and currently serving, but also as an educational process to the generations that have come since the Vietnam War. So we don't want them to forget. We want people to remember that freedom is not free and the sacrifices that were made for our freedoms. So.
Well, you're an angel. I want to say that. How about that, guys?
For sure.
How many people? Yes. And, you know, it's a collaborative effort, the folks that are involved in this HERO organization. There's veterans groups. Well, tell us just real quick, what other groups are involved in putting this together?
Our veterans organizations from around the community, we met with them once a month for the past year to plan. We also have involved local businesses, sponsors, some not-so-local businesses, and our volunteers. It is a completely volunteer-run program, and everybody gets together, and we put on what we hope to be a fitting tribute.
Thank you very much, Joanna, and all that you've done, and all of your compadres there, that and from this veteran, and I'm sure the other two guys that are sitting right across from me are going to be, they're shaking their heads, right? Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's awesome.
It is an honor. It is an honor to be able to do this.
Well, you're an honor to do this, and it's an honor to have you on this program. You see, folks, what one person can do. So I can't make a difference. Yes, you can. So get out there and start doing things for the veterans. Keep doing. I shouldn't say start. Keep doing them. Thank you once again, Joanna. You have a blessed day.
Thank you. Thank you. You as well.
Oh boy, what else we got here? Save the date. You know what? I think it could be time to give away that leather coat. They're all waiting, right?
Mm. Yeah, they're all waiting. Yeah. I love giving away stuff.
We got, how are we going to do this? Derek, go ahead. We had something planned, remember? Oh, it's a drum roll. The winner is Aaron Dickey from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Okay. Yeah, all right. Let's kill the crowd. Move them out. This Dale has on here, here is a U.S. Wings jacket winner, number 438, whatever that is, number 438, Aaron Dickey from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Anybody been there?
No.
Never been there.
No.
I have. Sweet spot. He's a U.S. Air Force veteran, and that's great. Aaron Dickey, if you'd like to give us a call, Aaron, if you happen to be listening, 822-1600, 734-822-1600. Don't delay. You don't give that a call. So Aaron Dickey from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, you got a leather jacket from U.S. Wings. Have you ever been to U.S. Wings?
No.
They have the nose art from, what was the 12 o'clock high? Memphis Bell.
Yes.
He has the nose art.
Wow.
From the Memphis Bell. That's pretty awesome.
That's incredible.
That was the first ship, airship, to reach the number of sorties and then to be finished, right? Mm-hmm. And so he has, it's called U.S. Wings. It's in Hudsonville, Ohio. If you happen to be traveling in Ohio, you actually want to go off and check this place out. You can order all kinds of great things that they have there in their store, I guess you can call it that. It's really cool. It's a cool veteran place. It's in Hudson, Ohio. It's called U.S. Wings.
They probably have a website, I'm sure.
U.S. Wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, U.S. Wings. I mean, I don't know it exactly. Maybe he's got it on here.
I believe it is uswings.com.
If you don't know what it is, folks, this is what you do. Or you take a walk. Well, so once again, Aaron, you know, congratulations. That's really cool. Save the date. Here we go. Friday, September 20th at the POW Committee of Michigan. There's a ceremony at 6:30. Remember, write this stuff down, okay? And by the way, it'll be on our website, veteransradio.net. Be sure, .net, not .com. So Friday, September 20th, 6:30, presented by the POW Committee of Michigan in observance of National POW MIA Day. Okay, that's in Oakland Hills Memorial Gardens, 12 Mile and Novi Road. And there will be a keynote speaker there, former Air Force Lieutenant Rich Luderman. Oh, he's a meteorologist. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I don't watch TV. So, anyway, for more information, oh, boy, here we go. 734-395-4697 or email POWMIAPINEAU. Got that? POWMIAPINEU at Outlook.com. 734-395-4697 or email POWMIAPINEAU at Outlook.com. Michael, you were commenting on that before the program.
About
the POW committee and the POWMIA recognition day.
Well, that's, again, this is a separate event than what is going to be at the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System. They have their own program where they recognize the National POW MIA Day. And as Brian was mentioning, they just had their picnic, their annual picnic in July at Gallup Park. Yep. And the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System's POW group, or former POW group, was actually known as the largest and most active in the nation. Mm-hmm. And yes, I was there attending their annual picnic, and their numbers are dwindling because, as you can imagine, the greater majority of our POW MIAs were during World War II, Korea, and then very few in Vietnam, and they were returned to us. And when we come to the Persian Gulf era, you're looking at less than 15, if that. So, yes, that group of folks are a great group of people to be around, and their stories are amazing. And if you get a chance to go to any of these recognition events, you should really sit down and talk to them.
I want to.
Them, yes.
And these guys share that with you.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
And I got to tell you, man, these guys are cut from a different cloth from the rest of us. They're really special, you know. They're great, and they're really great to talk to.
And what is gee, how do I want to ask this open-ended question? Michael had mentioned that the VA and the POWNIA outreach. So why don't you expand on that a little bit?
We have a former POW outreach coordinator. In fact, she is on my staff, and her job really is to keep in touch with these folks. And we have meetings with them monthly. They come to the VA. We have a meeting. They usually have a little luncheon, and they share their stories and they talk with each other, and they sort of just have this fellowship with each other. It's a shared experience that you're hard pressed to find anyone in the world that can communicate with you on that level. And we have this forum for them to get together with their spouses in the room, or family or caregivers are also in the room, and they tell their stories and they talk about the feelings that they have about it. Even to this day, it's hard to listen to, and it's hard for them to talk about it. And we're talking 75 years later almost. So, and they still have these feelings so deep inside of them. So it's a tremendous forum for them to be able to come and talk about that. And we do that every month. April LaRocque is the one who works with me, and she runs that group. And, it's unfortunate, but it seems like at least every other week she's saying, I'm going to another funeral. And that's just the nature of it, right? A lot of these guys are in their 90s, late 90s.
Well, folks, we were talking when we first came on the program about the VA, and this is just another example. That's what Veterans Radio is all about, is bringing this information. Michael G. Smith and Brian Hayes, isn't that great, folks?
Well, the one thing about the VA is...
I'm sure you're all out there shaking your head, hey, I didn't know this stuff. Well, you got to listen to Veterans Radio,
The one thing, Bob, though, is the VA is not just a hospital, right?
I think that was the way it was perceived.
Yeah. And the VA has changed so much. Just the top of my head, we have so many more women veterans now, right? And because women are fighting side by side with men, they're coming back with the same injuries that men have, and, limbs and psychological wounds and things like that. So VA is doing so much more to retool to care for women veterans. And oftentimes women veterans they don't feel respected when they come to a VA hospital, because traditionally it's been known as kind of a man's hospital, right? And it's hard to argue that, because for decades it kind of was, right? Because mostly it was men who were in battle. Now that story is different. And I know, just in our hospital, we're about 10% now female veterans are coming in to get care. And that number is growing year after year. When 3 years ago, when I became the public affairs officer, it was 7%. So it's grown 3% in just 3 years.
Fantastic.
We've got women's clinic, and we're hiring physicians who specialize in, women's issues and women's, health issues and things like that. So, we're just doing so much more. And we're working with very different specialty care. We've developed a whole health initiative where we bring in the acupuncture and the massage therapy and all the things that treat you other than drugs, right? Because,
absolutely.
So many of our guys, are getting, the drug therapies are actually causing more harm. And that's nationally, not just VA,
sure.
But that's a problem nationally.
Sure, sure.
But
you're doing something.
And we're dealing with the opioid crisis. And the VA is at the tip of the spear on the research and the changes that are being made to get people off of opioids and get them the proper health care and pain treatment that they need. We found that actually opioids actually create a bigger problem. They don't actually cure the pain.
No, they don't.
Exactly. They do not.
My pain, I also had facial pain, TN, trigeminal neuralgia.
Yeah.
And opioids, it busted right through it. Didn't even phase it. Didn't even phase it. Thing I got was just really stoned, and I didn't care about that. So
yeah.
I got something else for Michael. I think we have discussed this in the past, because this came out of my file. I got all kinds of things here. Why is this important? I got this on here. So I've got underlined the National Association of Senior Veterans, NASV. And that's a veterans service organization that was founded in 2008. It employs a team of accredited veteran service officers that serve as a liaison between the surviving spouse and a Department of Veterans Affairs. Wow, that sounds like what you're doing. Isn't that true? Tell us about that, Michael.
So,
Who should we even contact these people? Look at that. I'm a senior vet.
So there are there's various types of service organizations. Actually, there's three different types of service organizations. There's the national veteran service organizations that are congressionally chartered, such as the Vietnam Veterans of America, the Disabled Americans, Disabled American Veterans, the American Legion, the Military Order of Purple Heart, Vietnam Veterans of America, Paralyzed Veterans of America. Those organizations have been in place doing this and providing accredited veteran service officers to take care of all veterans, senior and others, for their claims for disability compensation. But what they're identifying here is the non-service-connected disability pension and the survivor's pension, and then those surviving survivor benefits that we all are trained. We have to have a certain amount of hours of training each year to maintain our accreditations, compensation and pension. And when I say compensation, that's dependency indemnity compensation for survivors as well as disability compensation for veterans, and then the two pension programs and any survivor benefits for dependents and survivors. We're required to obtain 16 continuing education units per year, and that's all veteran service officers. Then you have state veteran service officers who are employees of a recognized veteran service organization that happens to be a state. In Michigan, Michigan became the 48th state veteran service organization in 2014 when the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency was recognized by the VA Office of General Counsel.
About time, yeah.
Right? And so you got the same as Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, the Texas Commission, California Department of Veterans Affairs. They are all recognized state veteran service organizations, and they have state veteran service officers who are accredited as well. Then you have what's called a regional or local veteran service organization, such as the one I belong to, which is the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers, or the Red Cross, or the Iraq-Afghan Veterans of America. These are ones who are not issued charters. The VA stopped issuing, the Congress stopped issuing charters way back when, I believe, in 1979. So,
What does that mean?
That means that they're recognized by the Congress, and then there's an obligation that the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs provides those congressionally chartered service organizations with office space, phones, fax, and anything that they need in a regional office so that they can be available to veterans.
Now hold your thought, because that's what we had at the VA way back when, didn't we?
It's still that way.
No, and I'm not knocking those that did it, but I'll tell you, there was you were just appointed. Hey, you want to do this? You can do this kind of thing. And rather than you, and I remember, you and I have known each other, 20 years? And your knowledge and base of knowledge and what you can do and what was not available at the VA. And again, we're not here to, well, then how did you correct that? Okay, you've got VSOs there. And when I walk by that hallway, I kind of, because I remember way back when the VSO guys could have been you, and you just show up. You
know, no, the VSO guys.
Rather than people that were as qualified as
Right, our VSOs, from what I know from experience having worked with them, these are people from the organizations, right? They're not VA employees.
Right.
They come from the organizations, and we assume that they've been trained by that organization. Yeah. Now, one of the things that we did at...
That's now.
Yeah. And one of the things that we did at our VA... to make it a little bit easier to access these veteran service officers is we moved them to the front entrance. It used to be you had to navigate the entire hospital just to find your VSO, and people wandering around with their paper. You know, you can always tell them when they're walking around. You're like, can I help you find? But now we've got them right at the front entrance in our new welcome center. So you come in, you park your car, you go in, you know, just a few feet, see your VSO, get back in your car and get the heck out of there. So, you know, we just made it a lot easier. We also moved, you know, in that front entrance, we also moved all the sort of ancillary services too, like our travel, beneficiary travel is there, eligibility is in the front, our patient advocates are in the front. So you don't, like I said, you don't have to navigate the entire hospital to go to see one person for this simple admin task.
Consolidation.
Well, yeah, and it makes it easy. It's all in the same hallway. Bam. You know, and you just get in, get out. And that has made it a lot easier for a lot of folks.
Yeah, and I have experienced the VA recently a lot, and they're great. Yeah, how's that?
Thank you.
Am I saying it? Yeah.
This I commend this group for organizing themselves. It says that they've been here since 2008.
But they may be duplicating services.
Well, they're providing an additional service to what other people are already doing. The one thing that I will say about state veteran service officers, county veteran service officers and veteran service organization service officers from the congressionally chartered ones is we work very closely together. Mm-hmm. We work together collaboratively. And I have never had a representative from this organization ever reach out and say, hey, we want to work collaboratively with you as a county veteran service officer, because it seems to me like they're specializing in one area of claims work, which is those pensions. And I'll tell you, there are some people who are a little bit wary of organizations like that because yeah. of because of estate planners and lawyers and other people that were yeah. targeting assisted living facilities, nursing home facilities, and going in and conducting seminars. And then what they were doing is they were saying, we'll file your yeah. your pension claim for free, but they were selling them an insurance package on the side, and they were moving their assets, which is one of the reasons why.
You don't want to move your assets.
Well, folks. That's one of the reasons why the VA just revamped their rules on both pension programs. It went into effect October 18th of 2018, just last year, so it's not even been a year, where they now have a three-year look back to see if you've divested yourself of any of your assets because of what these unscrupulous lawyers and estate planners were doing, targeting our senior veterans. And there's a little bit of an issue in my advocacy heart about people who are doing this kind of work and wondering what else are they doing, and are yeah. they really taking care of veterans mm-hmm. and putting themselves out there as if we're the only ones that can do this, when there's a slew of people out here that are accredited veteran service officers yeah. that will help you with every single yeah. aspect of your VA needs.
I see. This NASV is a designated 501c3, so there's a number of those out there, right, that are looking to, I'm going to present this throughout time. What do we got, 3, 2, 4? Oh, we're cool.
Wow.
Yeah, we got lots of time. And we got time. Getting back to, Lord, I lost my thought on this. I was going to talk about this. Yeah, because they're looking here for private donations. Yeah, this is Wear Your Jeans, Help Our Vets campaign. I never mm-hmm. heard of that. Did you hear of that?
No, I mean, as a VA representative, I can't weigh in on the legitimacy or anything of an organization.
Yeah. No, we don't want you to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, and no. I'm not going to solicit.
But have they approached you? That's why.
They have. No, we haven't been approached by them.
Because I've been approached, not approached, but people I've talked with that, I'd like to offer these services to veterans. We have mm-hmm. this that we want to reach out to the community, and they are 501c3. So,
well, I just kind of want to echo, I think, what Michael was trying to say, too, in that just – if folks just need to be careful about who they're getting involved
sure.
with. I'm not saying anything about this organization.
No. We
I have
know
no
that.
Idea.
Yeah.
But I know that as a population, veterans, we tend to be trusting souls, right?
Absolutely.
And and it's a real problem in our community of folks getting taken advantage of. I mean, how many mortgage refinance things have you gotten in the mail?
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
You know, I get them sometimes three at a time, yeah. at least every day, and most of them are not. You know, they're just not good. So it's just one of the things we talk about sometimes around in the VA. It's like, let's just be really careful about the organizations that we hitch our wagon to.
So where would you go to check out legitimacy? Is there somewhere on the VA where they could check and see that a certain organization is working with you folks or anything like that?
Generally, we just have to do a lot of research and find out, you know, what other VAs have been involved, if they've been involved, and, you know, we talk to the service and things like that. You know, in my job, I'm kind of the gatekeeper of that at VA Ann Arbor. I can't speak about any other VA. And I keep pretty much an iron gate on anybody that wants to have dealings with our veterans. I'm really picky about that. And that's my job, because I don't want our veterans being taken advantage of in any way, shape, or form. And I also don't want the VA being taken advantage of.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Brian, it's refreshing to talk with you. You certainly are somebody that I respect. And we just met. And
yeah,
I really you've answered all the questions.
You know what, Bob, what we try
yes,
to do.
And Brian said something to me. He says, I have a face for radio. So, and, you know, I can say the same thing, folks.
Bob, you know what we try to do? My counterparts in other counties, along with me, we go to assisted living facilities and nursing home facilities, and we do presentations regularly, mm-hmm. along with senior community centers like Pittsfield. We're going to be at Milan's Senior Center. And we've been out to Chelsea. We do that, and I go over and I talk to the social workers at the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System at least twice a year during one of their monthly trainings, so that they know that we're the community resource, or other service organizations are the appropriate resources to send.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you, Michael G. Smith, Brian Hayes.
Thank you.
This is Bob Gould for Veterans Radio. Tune in next week. Right now, you're dismissed.